and my car started acting up. I got out, lifted up the hood as if I knew anything to do about it, and tried tinkering with the different things, trying to see what could be the matter. I did not know, but I thought it was the best thing to do at the time. I was startled to hear a voice from the side of the road say, "It's probably the carburetor." I immediately glanced up to see who was talking to me. Oddly enough, there was no one around. However, I did notice a few head of cattle, some cows. They were curiously looking up from on the other side of the fence, and they had been grazing in their pasture, but they looked up with all the commotion going on. Right then, a blue pickup truck came alongside my car, and the driver asked if I needed any help. "Yes, I do," I replied. The driver asked me to jump in, and he would take me to town. I told the driver, who happened to be the local farmer, about the voice that I had heard and how it said, "It's probably the carburetor." Well, it turned out the farmer was not all that surprised at my story and then asked me some questions. He asked, "Were there some cows nearby? Was there a young Guernsey cow, perhaps?" "I think so," I responded. "Why do you ask?" "Well," said the farmer, "you probably heard one of my cows talking. And it was probably Bossy." That's the cow's name. The farmer went on to say, "Don't pay no attention to her, though. She really doesn't know nothing about cars." Okay, people, that was funny. It was one of the funniest ones in all these months here. All right. Praise the Lord. Don't pay no attention to her. She doesn't know much about cars. Now, if you'll remember, for a couple of weeks now, we've been considering the wisdom of the true church and what the true church needs to know. We don't really need to know how a carburetor works or how to fix it or whatever. It'd sure be nice because you could, you know, do it yourself and not have to pay a mechanic and, you know, all that kind of thing. But you can take it to somebody and, you know, have it worked on. What God wants us to know is Him. What He wants to know, what He wants us to know is His Word and how it can help us through our lives. Okay? The wisdom of a true church endeavoring to be uncomplicated, especially in the midst of a complicated world. And the world is kind of complicated if you think about it. All right? There's always, you know, well, we think this and we think that, and that's not right, but this is, and we got voices coming from everywhere, even across the fence. We've been following the seven examples that A.W. Tozer, the great preacher from the 20th century, presents on just how seriously the church must take these instructions that he has for us. And specifically, what I'm talking about is concerning the Word of God itself. What is the Word of God? Why did He give it? Why does He want us to know it? Why does He want us to live it? Etc., etc. He presents an excellent test for the newest of concepts that come our way. Because people are always coming up with something new. Did you ever notice that? Well, there's this and there's that. You know, a few years ago there was a revival, supposedly, up in Canada. And all the people ran around the church, you know, barking like dogs and clucking like chickens. And that was, you know, that was supposed to be spiritual. It's not spiritual, it's stupid. Okay? It's not, it's dumb. Down in Florida, believe it or not, it's been, what, almost 15 years now. There was a so-called revival that took place down there. And I saw one of their videos. and the pastor was running around on the stage, and he was, the evangelist actually, was running around on the stage, and he told everybody to get rid of their Bibles. Put your Bibles away. You don't need your Bibles. It's old. Those are just stories. That's not going to help you any. Literally telling you to throw away the Word of God. That's no revival, people. That's demonic. All right? It is. It's just plain demonic. So the Bible says in some of John's writings, he says, test the spirits. Test it. And that's what A.W. Tozer is giving us. And he has that for us here today as well. He presents an excellent test for the newest of concepts that come our way. We've looked at the other two, one concerning the Father, one concerning the Son, and now the third one concerning the Word of God. All right, last couple of messages, we saw how we can be affected by our attitudes and how those can affect our thinking toward the Father and the Son. Now we want to take a look at some of the concepts that come our way concerning what people say about the Bible. Okay? New concepts of the Word of God that can affect our relationship with the infallible Word of God. God put together this book, had people write it down. Yeah, of course. You think God's going to sit up there and take a pen in his hand? No. He inspired it. It was God-breathed, like I told the kids. He inspired it, and they wrote it down. That's what it says, right in the Bible. There's no denying that. Of course, people that don't want to be held back, so to speak, they think the Bible's going to hold them back, I guess, from doing what they want to do. And so they just say, well, I don't believe this, I don't believe that, and so forth. Well, that's not valid. That's not valid. A.W. Tozer presents the question and thereby the test. And here it is. So I want you to listen very, very carefully. Did this new experience, this new view of truth, spring out of the Word of God itself? Whatever originates outside the Scriptures should, for that very reason, be suspect until it can be shown to be in accord with them. You hear what he's saying? I want to be real clear about it. He's saying this new thing that's come up, this new idea about how we, well, like the church down in Florida that said, get rid of your Bibles. Put that up against the Bible and then believe God. God says, don't throw away your Bibles. Amen? God says, read your Bibles. Obey your Bibles. Amen? God said that. Some guy down in Florida said, get rid of them. Now, who do I believe? See, test the spirits. Amen? Mm-hmm. Crucial. Test the spirits. What we need, and he goes on to add this, by the way, he says, no experience can be proved to be genuine unless we can find chapter and verse authority for it in the Scriptures. All right? Somebody says something? Is there a chapter and verse that takes care of it, you know, in the Bible? You know, chapter and verse. That's what we want to take a look at today, all right? Praise God. That is where an uncomplicated church can answer any old question, any new question that exhibits itself in an extremely complicated world such as we have today. In other words, there is no situation that can't be answered. Chapter and verse. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? Right? Okay, chapter and verse. By our God and by His Word. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You don't have to turn to this one because it's real short. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 tells us. Isaiah 8, verse 20 tells us. Chapter and verse. Chapter 8, verse 20. Okay? I'm not making this stuff up. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. In other words, if somebody comes up with something contrary to what the Bible says, there's no light in those people. There's no spiritual light. There's only darkness. It's got to line up with the Word of God. Amen? A.W. Tozer once wrote, "Whatever is new should also be viewed with a lot of caution. Over the past half century, quite a number of unscriptural notions have gained acceptance among Christians by claiming that they were among the truths that were going to be revealed in the last days." Things like this, barking like dogs and clucking like chickens and that kind of thing. Or the, you know, throw away the Bible. Any of those kind of things. And it doesn't even have to be really weirdo type stuff like that. Okay? Anything that redirects you in a different direction from the Bible is to be suspect. Until it can be proven, chapter and verse, that it really is true. Well, if it's contrary to the Bible, it's not going to be proven. Amen? Won't be. All right. A lot of people would like to believe that these times that we're in now are going to be the best of all the time the church has. I hear this every once in a while on the radio. That, you know, things are going to get a whole lot better. You know? And so the Bible says they're going to wax worse and worse. The Bible says, you know, there's going to be more persecution. The Bible says there's going to be all kinds of trouble in the last days. Perilous times, the Bible says. Okay? But some people have turned that into, you know, there's going to be all kinds of good times and good things and so forth. It doesn't mean that God isn't going to speak and God isn't going to do some amazing things. Yes, He is. Amen? But we need to have what God says about these things. Amen? A lot of people would like to believe that these times we're in now, are going to be the best of all the time the church has. Times where you just heard this morning that yesterday a bunch of people were shot down. Twice. Truth be known, it happened a couple weeks ago too. Churches have been invaded with people with guns. And people have been mowed down, been gunned down. These are better times? These are nicer times? Well, I don't think so. Chapter and verse, 2 Timothy, listen carefully. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And for these others, it is a good idea, because some of them are just a little bit longer. It is a good idea for you to go ahead and see it. So look up in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy, it's way back there in the back with all the books that begin with the letter T. They're all together. I think God did that on purpose. You know? So we pastors could stand up here and just turn to all the T's. Okay? There it is. Sure enough, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. This... Know also, Paul says, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, now listen, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, it says here, to turn away. That's a big list, people. Isn't it? That's a big list. Now, does God want us, if we were involved in any of these things, does God want us to come out of those things? Of course He does. Amen? This isn't saying you have to stay back there, okay? But the church needs to take a good look at this and see, you know, stay away from this stuff. Stay away from all these things. Tozer laid out the truth of this much more clearly than the megachurch does today, or even the prosperity-oriented church today. The church that's always telling you, you know, just send me $100 and you'll get 1,000 or whatever it might be. Or plant a seed, you know, plant $59 and you'll get hundreds of dollars and all this kind of stuff. That's baloney. You hear it on TV, you hear it on the radio. It's lunch meat, people. It's worse than that. It's bad lunch meat. Amen? Tozer said this, the truth is that the Bible does not teach that there will be a new light and advanced spiritual experiences in the latter days. It teaches the exact opposite. Chapter and verse? Do I have a chapter? Do I have a verse? There are numerous places in the Bible where this is made clear that these last days are not going to be marked with an upswing in spirituality. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Chapter and verse, I told you. I'm not making this stuff up. Chapter and verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Furthermore, give you another example. We find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 2, okay? Chapter and verse. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 tells us, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin, the Antichrist, okay, will be revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition means ruin, spiritual disaster, who opposeth, now watch, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, showing himself that he is God. Satan is a liar from the get-go, people. Amen? He's going to try to get people to believe that he is God. Amen? But you can see from the scriptures that he's going to do that. So guess what? You know he's not going to get by with it. A lot of people will believe him and they'll go off with him. That's true. That's why we stand here and say, but the Bible says. Amen? Bible says. A.W. Tozer continues his advice. Listen, beware of any man who claims to be wiser than the apostles or holier than the martyrs of the early church. Chapter and verse. Listen. Chapter and verse. Within the Christian circle, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now the world doesn't care about this stuff, you understand? That's why I say for the church has got to know this. The church has to be that light, that beacon, that lighthouse that stands up and shines the light. Amen? So what? So the ships don't wreck on the rocky coast. Amen? Why do you think the Great Lakes, for example, have lighthouses all around them? And they still use many of them. All right? But they have like hundreds of them. Hundreds. Why? Because if the ships get too close to the shore, crash, bang, down it goes. Chapter and verse. For we hear, yeah, this is 2 Thessalonians 3, if you're writing these down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word of this epistle, this letter, note that man. Simply meaning, keep an eye on that guy. Amen? Note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet, count him not as an enemy. Don't go around hating him, okay? But admonish him as a brother. Call them out of the sin and back into the truth. All right? Okay, you ready for another chapter and verse on this? Chapter and verse. Ready for another? Here it is. Beware lest any man spoil you through Oh, I should give it first, shouldn't I? Colossians 2, 8 to 10. Sorry about that. Colossians 2, verses 8 to 10. I mean to give all of these first. Why? Because I'm telling you, chapter and verse. Here's the chapter, here's the verse. Now let's read it. Okay? I'm going to mark that so I can change it. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Now let's see, where was it? Let's go back to the beginning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. A.W. Tozer took it further. You kind of knew he would. If you know anything at all about A.W. Tozer, you know he's got more. Amen? A.W. Tozer continues. He said, while true power lies not in the letter of the text, okay, that means, you know, syllable by syllable by syllable, this word and what it means, okay? The true power lies not in the letter of the text, but in the spirit that inspired it. The power is in the fact that God spoke this word and inspired the apostles to write it down. With no changes, no debating, no arguing. These people that wrote the Bible, they didn't say, God, do you really mean to say it that way? Because don't we sometimes feel like telling God that? Why don't you make it clear? Why don't you say it this way? People will understand better if you say it that way. They didn't do that. You know what? They knew that Father knows best. Amen? Some of you still have that glare. You don't remember the show from the 50s. Father knows best. All right? Praise God. All right. But in the spirit that inspired it, we should never underestimate the value of the letter. What's the chapter and verse? We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Verses 5 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 to 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers in the New Testament, not the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now let me qualify that. I don't mean qualify. Let me explain this just a little bit, okay? This is not to say that we set aside what the Word of God is saying literally, that is the letter, you know, this, wherein we find much of the judgment, much of the direction, okay, but let both the letter and the Spirit work together to convict us and subsequently to restore us. Amen? Now, do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying get rid of the words of the Bible. You know, because people think that's what that's talking about. The letter killeth. So we have to go ahead and paraphrase it. We can't deal with these old Bibles. You know, we got to go ahead and paraphrase it. You know, there's one, it's called The Message by Eugene Peterson. The guy made it up, people. He made it up. I went to the Christian bookstore one time, I got one off the shelf, sat down at the table, and went through many of the verses. The guy makes it up. He is saying what he wants to say. Oh, some of it resembles what's in the Bible, but he goes ahead and puts his own twist on it, his own explanation. It's not even a translation. He didn't go back to the original languages. He just took a Bible and just started fooling with it. Okay? And then everybody thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. And, you know, and they're going along, but they don't, you know, maybe if you had the Message alongside, say, the King James or even New King James or whatever, you could see the differences. But, you know, a lot of people don't look at it that far. They just go ahead and figure it's the Bible. It says it's the Bible. Well, yeah, but a lot of things say it's they're true or they're the Bible or whatever, and they're not. Okay? I mean, the guy made it up. It's a paraphrase. That means it's not even a translation. Literally, the guy made it up. All right? So when we say the letter of the law, a lot of people say, well, let's throw away the letter of the law. We don't need to listen to that. We don't need the letter. Okay? We just need the Spirit. Yeah, but if you don't know what God actually said, if you don't go back to His own words, how are you even going to understand the Spirit of what God is saying? Amen? You see what I'm saying? Okay? So both need to be there, but if you just have the letter, if you just have, there's this syllable and this syllable and this syllable, and then boom, there's your word, and you know, and away you go. No. You don't want just one or the other. You want both. Okay? And it's got to be the Spirit as well. That is, what is the Spirit? The Spirit is God loving you so much that He gives you His heart. Amen? He gives you His heart. That's the Word of God. His heart. And He loves you so much that He's given that. So my point is, pay attention to it. Amen? Pay attention to it. All right. All right. Tozer, lastly. Here we go. In closing, so to speak. I've said before, that's one of those meaningless pastoral statements that people say close to the end. Lastly, okay, Tozer said, I am almost done. The text of truth has the same relation to truth as the honeycomb has to the honey. What is the honeycomb with relation to the honey? Take a stab at it right now. What is the honeycomb in relation to the honey?
Bees.
Well, but what is the honeycomb?
The
holder. Huh? It holds it. Or could I put it another way? Could I just call it the receptacle? You know, the honeycomb holds, right, the honey, all right? One serves as a receptacle for the other. Tozer says this. But there the analogy ends. The honey can be removed from the comb, all right? But the Spirit of truth cannot and does not operate apart from the letter of the Holy Scriptures. So you can't just get rid of the letter and think you got everything. Amen? You can take the honey out of the honeycomb, but you can't take the Spirit out of the letter. For this reason, a growing acquaintance with the Holy Spirit will always mean an increasing love for the Bible. Amen? All right. In other words, you can't cleave these two apart. By cleave, I mean like with a machete. You know, separate these two things. Okay? You can't cleave these two apart from each other and be satisfied with one or the other. At another time, and I'm not going to tell you what other book he said this in, but Tozer once declared that a whole Bible is required to make a whole Christian. Can't just take the parts you like. Can't just take the bits and pieces. Just can't take the, you know, the easy ones to hear. The whole Bible has to be a part of our lives. Amen? Now, is that going to be easy? Is that going to be a breeze? Will it be effortless? Of course not. It is why we must have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Okay? Am I making that up? No. Chapter and verse. Right? Chapter and verse. Are you ready? I'm closing with this. I really am. I mean it. Okay? Chapter and verse. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 12 to chapter 4, verse 4. This is 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 12 to 4, verse 4. Watch this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All scripture, listen to this. This is the Bible speaking, therefore God speaking. Listen to this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How? I inserted that. How? Preach the word. That's what it says. Preach the word. I got a reminder of that right here. All right? On this lectern, on this pulpit, it says 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I'm telling you, people, that time has come. A lot of people out there, some of these guys on TV make up all this stuff. That's exactly what they're doing. They're not enduring sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know? I want to hear this new thing. I want to hear this new thing. I don't want the old stuff anymore. So I'll get rid of my Bible. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, fairy tales. And that's what a lot of this stuff is that is contrary to the Bible. That's why we need chapter and verse. Amen? All right, praise God. The true church holding to these doctrines that Paul has now laid out will actually be very uncomplicated. It's not complicated. Love God. Amen? Trust in Jesus. It's not complicated. It's very, very important in this complicated world to be uncomplicated. So what's the key? Well, how many times have I said it today? Chapter and verse. That's the key. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. We praise you. We love you, Lord. We need, dear God, your direction at all times. So we come to you, dear God, and we pray, fill us with your direction. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, dear God, with a truth, a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, we'd allow for your truth, dear God, to be the only truth we hold to. And everything else, dear God, would go by the wayside. I thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. So many other scriptures we could have turned to. So many others. But Lord, chapter and verse. I think we've gotten enough here today, under our belt, so to speak, that we can see your direction. And then, Lord, later today, tomorrow, give us more. Hallelujah. Give us more. When we're reading your word, and all of a sudden it hits us, hey, this is what we were talking about Sunday. Hey. I thank you, Lord, because it's all through your word. It's not just in the few that we've looked at here today. It's all through. And I pray, dear God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will indeed empower us to live for God. Hallelujah. Be our everything here today. In Jesus' precious name we pray, dear God. Hallelujah. And amen. Amen.